Last week, we looked at the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptizer. I mentioned that Jesus' baptism was the beginning of his public ministry on earth. At his baptism, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he was declared to be God's Son, the Messiah. The Spirit then led him into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. Jesus then came back from the wilderness, victorious over Satan, and he began calling men to be his disciples. So just a little over a month from the baptism, Jesus was accumulating followers. And that's where we are in our passage today. We are in the earliest stages of Jesus' ministry. In John 1, verse 35, Jesus had already returned from the wilderness, and two disciples of John the Baptizer started following him. One of them was named Andrew, and we're not told the name of the other. But Andrew went and told Simon, his brother, and Simon followed Jesus, and Jesus changed his name to Cephas, or Peter. So we have three men following Jesus so far, and at least two of them will be numbered among the apostles. We're picking up in verse 43 of John 1, and we're going to meet two additional men. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. The first man we're introduced to is Philip of Bethsaida. Bethsaida was a city in the Galilee region, which is where they were traveling to. So it makes sense that they would have found Philip on the way or when they arrived. Andrew and Peter were from the same city. So these men were Galileans, as was Jesus. Jesus' hometown, Nazareth, was also in Galilee. This region in northern Israel would be the primary headquarters for Jesus and his disciples. We aren't told much at all about Philip, except that Jesus said, "Follow me," and Philip followed. He obeyed. And we know this because very soon he'll be recruiting people to follow Jesus. And this Philip will also become an apostle. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." The second man we meet is Nathanael. Just as Andrew went and told Simon, so Philip went and told Nathanael. We're seeing that Jesus' followers told other people about him. They were excited about Jesus, and they wanted everyone to know Jesus. So they started spreading the news. But Nathanael's reaction to Philip was not one of excitement. In fact, he responded with skepticism. You've heard of doubting Thomas? Well, here we have doubting Nathanael. Jesus had two doubting disciples, one at the beginning and one at the end. We also see a contrast here between Nathanael and Philip. Philip followed Jesus right away. That's how it's presented. We're not told that there was a delay or any doubt on his part. It was simple for Philip. Immediate first-time obedience. It wasn't so simple for Nathanael. He was skeptical. He was hesitant. Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Wow. Okay. Well, apparently Nathanael had some issues with Nazareth. And we aren't told why, but there are some theories. Some people think he was prejudiced against Nazareth, that Nazareth was viewed as a backwater hick town of sorts. Another theory is that Nazareth was a relatively insignificant town. It was small and not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It's not that it had a bad reputation or that Nathanael was prejudiced, but compared to other cities like Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Jericho, what is Nazareth? Nathanael was saying, "You want me to believe that the Messiah, the King, is from Nazareth?" Yeah, right. Whatever the reason was, we'll have to ask Nathanael in heaven. Whatever the reason, Philip did not give up on Nathanael. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll leave you alone then." Nor did he argue with him about Nazareth. He just said, "Come and see." He gave him a challenge. He challenged his doubt. Don't dismiss this so quickly. Come and see for yourself. And by the way, these were the same words that Jesus said to Andrew up in verse 39. He said, "Come and see." When you try to tell people about Jesus or about your church, don't let their dismissals shut you up. Challenge them. Dare them to come and see for themselves. That should be our message to the world. Come and see. Because the Christian faith is a tangible faith made up of people and music and water and bread and wine. It is not an abstract idea that you should think about sometimes. No, the church is a true and living and loving community. The world should see Jesus by seeing us, because we are the body of Christ. Christianity will never be understood if it is separated from Christian community and Christian worship. Come and see. Well, Nathanael accepted the challenge. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Now, this sounds like a strange thing for Jesus to say. And what did he mean by it? Was he being sarcastic a little bit in light of Nathanael's skepticism? Or was he truly praising him for being a faithful Israelite? We can only speculate. But I do think that we should assume Nathanael was generally a godly man. I assume that all of these early disciples had been baptized by John, Nathanael included. So Nathanael loved Yahweh. He was a faithful covenant member, even if he had some skepticism about Jesus. But his skepticism wouldn't last for long. Verse 48. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Doubting Nathanael has now become believing Nathanael. He had to see Jesus for himself, just like Thomas after the resurrection. When Thomas finally saw Jesus, he gave a marvelous confession, calling Jesus his Lord and his God. Likewise, Nathanael gave a confession. He proclaimed Jesus to be the Son of God and the King of Israel. A marvelous confession. Nathanael had a complete change of heart about Jesus, all because Jesus said he saw Nathanael under the fig tree. What does that mean? We're not given any details about that. But whatever it was, Nathanael knew. Nathanael knew. Jesus was pinpointing something that no one should have known other than Nathanael. I imagine that he had been alone under the tree. Whatever he was doing, maybe he was praying. Maybe he was going through some sort of distress. Maybe he was thinking or doing something sinful under the tree. We just don't know. But whatever he was doing, it was meant to be private. But this man from Nazareth, of all places, said, "I saw you under the fig tree." At these words, Nathanael was struck. He was compelled to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. How else are we to take this other than a supernatural, miraculous occurrence? Jesus sees all. He has the power to see you in private. This revelation convinced Nathanael of who Jesus was. At that moment, he knew that he was wrong to doubt. He was wrong to think that nothing good could come from Nazareth. At that moment, he had the same faith as Andrew, Peter, and Philip. Now, Nathanael's name is never mentioned in the listings of the 12 apostles. So we're not sure if Nathanael became an apostle or not. Some people think he did, listed as Bartholomew, but we can't say for sure. What we do know is that Nathanael became a follower and believer of Christ at this moment. And Jesus had more to say to Nathanael. Verse 50. "Because I said to you, 'I saw you under the fig tree,' do you believe? You will see greater things than these." In other words, you think that's something? You're amazed at me seeing you under the tree? Then just wait. Because you're going to see greater things. You're going to see more than this. And I'm sure this was a reference to the miracles and the prophecies and the salvations that would occur in Jesus' ministry. It might even be a reference to the wedding at Cana miracle, which is the very next story in John 1. And we later find out that Nathanael was from Cana. So I'm sure he was present for that event. But there was something else that Nathanael would see. Verse 51. Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." That sounds kind of cryptic, but the language is taken from the Old Testament in Genesis 28 in a story about Jacob. The story is often referred to as Jacob's ladder. We could call this story Nathanael's ladder. Jacob saw a ladder reaching up from earth to heaven, and he saw angels ascending and descending up and down this ladder. Jesus was saying to Nathanael that, like Jacob, he would see the ladder to heaven. But the difference is that Jesus is the ladder. Jesus said the angels ascend and descend on the Son of Man, which is himself. That means Jesus is the ladder to heaven. He was lifted up on the cross. He was resurrected from the grave, and he opened up heaven when he ascended. The veil between heaven and earth was torn by his body. And it is only through him and by his blood that we have access to heaven, that we have boldness to enter in. Philip and Nathanael represent two different types of people. Philip represents those who believe right away at the first command. Nathanael represents the doubters and the skeptics, those who take a little bit longer to believe. The good news is that Jesus loves both and he saves both. That's what we see here. He brings both types of people into his kingdom. It doesn't matter if you were earlier or later. We share the same faith because of his great mercy. The things that Nathanael learned about Jesus are things that we all have to learn about Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God who can see you when you are alone. He can see you when you are alone. You cannot escape his watchful eye. Know that when you are at your worst, when you are in despair, or when you're indulging in sin, or when you're pleading for God's mercy, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you under your fig tree, whatever that means for you. He is present, and he sees all. Now, if you have a right standing with God, then his watchful eye is a comfort to you. You desire his watchful eye. You desire his provision and his protection. But if you're not abiding in Christ, if you're not walking by the Spirit, his watchful eye could mean judgment. And most of us are tempted to sin in private. We like to keep our sins hidden and secret. Sins like pornography, adultery, drug and alcohol abuse, self-harm, domestic violence, or any sin that plagues the privacy of your mind. Let this be a reminder that Jesus is watching. You are never truly alone. So live before the face of God with a clear conscience. You know, Adam and Eve used a fig tree to cover their shame. Don't let it be like that for you. Jesus is the only ladder to heaven. He is the ladder to forgiveness, salvation, and peace. So be like Andrew, be like Philip. Spread this news to your neighbors and your coworkers and your classmates. Some of them will be skeptics. Don't let that hinder you. Say to them, come and see. Come to church and see Jesus. Come to church and hear his word. Come to church and receive his water and his bread and his wine. We want Nathanael's confession to be their confession. And it should continue to be your confession as well. With Nathanael, with believing Nathanael, proclaim Jesus to be your rabbi, the Son of God, the King of Israel.